and started angling across the hillside, staying behind my mount. The little brown guys turned their toy horses and moved with me. When I had a nice range, I jumped out and let fly at the nearest. He saw it coming and tried to dodge, only he did himself more harm than good. I meant to put the shaft into his pony's neck. It slammed in through his knee, getting him and the animal both. The pony threw him and took off, dragging him from a stirrup. I mounted up fast, took off through the gap. Those little horses did not move fast enough to close it. So we were off, them pounding after me at a pace to kill their animals in an hour, my beast barely cantering, and, I think, having a good time. I can't recall any other horse I've ridden looking back to check the pursuit and adjusting its pace to remain tantalizingly close. I had no idea who the brown guys were, but there had to be a bunch of them the way they kept turning up. I considered working on this bunch, taking them out one by one, decided discretion was the better part. If need be, I could bring the company down and forage for them. I wondered what became of Lady and Goblin and the others. I doubted they had come to any harm, what with our advantage in mounts, but we were separated, and there was no point spending the remaining daylight looking for them. I would get back to the road, turn north, find a town and someplace dry. The drizzle irritated me more than the fact that I was being hunted. But that stretch of forest bothered me more than the rain. That was a mystery that scared the crap out of me. The crows and walking stump were real, no doubt of that anymore, and the stump knew me by name. Maybe I ought to bring the company down and go after whatever hid there. The road was one of those wonders that turns into mud hip-deep if somebody spits on it. There were no fences in this part of the world, so I just rode beside it. I came to a village almost immediately. Call it a stroke of fate or timing. Timing. My life runs on weird timing. There were riders coming into town from the north. They looked even more bedraggled than I felt. They were not little brown men, but I gave them the suspicious eye anyway and looked for places to duck. They were carrying more lethal hardware than I was, and I had enough to outfit a platoon.
Yo! Croaker!
Hell. That was Mergen. I got a little closer and saw that the other three were Willow Swan, Cordy Mather, and Blade. What the hell were they doing down here? Chapter 26 Overlook. The one who had withdrawn everything but moral support did not give up his right to complain and criticize. The gathering of the Shadow Masters took place in the heights of a soaring tower in that one's new capital fortress, Overlook, which lay 2 miles south of Shadowcatch. It was a strange, dark fortress, more vast than some cities. It had thick walls 100 feet high. Every vertical surface was sheathed in plates of burnished brass or iron. Ugly silver lettering in an alphabet known only to a few damascened those plates, proclaiming fearful banes. The Shadow Masters assembled in a room not at all in keeping with their penchant for darkness. The sun burned through a skylight and through walls of crystal. The three shrank from the glare, though they were clad in their dark